following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
Join Natalie Diaz as she brings out the stories of men, women, and children who have made a difference while working in the background.
The future seems uncertain, but there is hope. There is still a light shining. It won't always be this way.
Listen to God's Heritage, The Women's Hour, Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. on SiriusXM Family Talk, Channel 131.
Welcome to our special edition of God's Heritage, The Women's Hour. I am Natalie Diaz. Thank you for joining us. As always, this program is dedicated to Moriah Michelle Dennis. Tonight, we find ourselves in the middle of the winter holiday season. The end of 2024 is here. Most are running to and fro, following ritualistic obligations of the seasonal festivities. Many holidays are observed around this time of the year. But there is something else that took place around this season. A new era was dawning exactly 2,000 years after what theologians consider the year Jesus Christ was born. A church was being born in the fire, with a fervent desire to have more than a name and a doctrine. The mark was set to go to heaven and to take as many people we could with us. Except this time, the focus would be more on our walk than on our words.
Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Isaiah 56, verse 7.
Tonight, this same church brings to you our story, our legacy, and our godly heritage. House of Prayer Ministries continue to bring the message of the unadulterated gospel all over the globe. From the United States to Russia, from Latin America to Europe, we are a church committed to the preservation of biblical principles.
To the House of Prayer in America, you prayed for us. You thank you so much for your prayer.
Anytime House of Prayer prayed, they were encouraged and blessed.
You deposited in us a spirit of evangelism, which grew like fire.
You will see us at hospitals, nursing homes, and homeless shelters, at food banks, orphanages, and prisons. We're actively ministering in our communities and everywhere we go. With affiliates across all continents.
This is Levi Newman, reporting live from Jerusalem.
It was just a blessing to be able to be somewhere else and just to be able to witness to people and pray in a different country.
When they first built the church in Mexico, they go out.
And not only Mexico, but Brazil.
There are men and women all throughout El Salvador that long for the missionaries, the brethren, to come back to see them again because they saw something different.
With affiliates across all continents, we faithfully encourage pastors, workers, and congregations in churches and synagogues in many countries.
Every time that he was preaching, he would call me. He said, "Hey, you and your church, I need y'all to pray for me." He didn't have nobody else to pray for him.
We are a church without prejudices. We are a church without boundaries. And we are a church of all nations.
And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 through 7.
Since we began, we've had one vision, one motivation, and one commission: to reach the lost through the power of prayer. Notice, our aim is not to reach the world. Such is a man-made idea, divorced from the truth found by searching the scriptures. The Bible clearly states that not all will receive the true gospel. Even so, the whole world must hear the everlasting gospel proclaimed, so that the ones who want it can have a chance to receive it.
So we went to Israel in April 2017 for the first time, and we went back the second time, November 2019.
In 2020, we got the opportunity to go to Israel with a group of other girls and brothers and sisters from the church.
And as a family, throughout the years, we've had the opportunity to go on missionary journeys all throughout the United States of America. From Seattle, Washington, all the way to New York City, we've been able to witness to others, from small towns to large cities, from very rich communities to the poorest communities. We reached out to all different nationalities. But those who received prayer and a word of encouragement had all expressed to us the same void in their lives. And that void was a lack of prayer.
As a child, I lived in three different homeless shelters. Decades later, in 2017, I had the privilege of embarking on a missionary journey with my church, the House of Prayer, to a men's homeless shelter in Chicago. While the men gathered outside, the sisters of our church prayed with the women who worked tirelessly in the shelter. Outside the shelter, our church set up tables. We began cooking hot dogs. We handed them bottles of water, but more importantly, we offered them the living water, the Word of God. Across the street, the children of House of Prayer stood in a group, their voices rising in harmony as they sang spiritual hymns that glorified God.
So we visited churches and we prayed in all the boroughs in New York. Let's see, Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, and Staten Island. We took different days and went different places. Visited a lot of churches.
You know, our Uber pulls up. It's a guy named Anderson. And when we get in the car, I think I said, praise the Lord. And then Brother McGriff said, hallelujah. And the guy said, I like Jesus too. And I was like, yes, we love Jesus. And then he said, where you guys from? We said, we're from the States. You know, we're here as missionaries. He said, oh, you guys are missionaries. He said, man, he said, you guys are a sign from God. And he starts breaking down in tears. He said, man, I was just talking to my wife today. And he said, and she was telling me how she was losing her faith. And he mentioned how that she was losing her faith because she went to all these different churches and they all preach different gospels. They're supposed to preach the same Jesus, but they were preaching different versions of the gospel. He said that she also went online and she read a whole lot of stuff about Christ and this and that. And she pretty much, because she tried to go to all these different avenues to try and find God, she ended up confusing herself to the point where she didn't even want to believe anymore. And it was bothering him, and he said, no, he was trying to get her, like, no, you have to come to church with me. I want to go to church this Sunday. And she had said, no, I don't really believe anymore. And he said, God, give me a sign, do something so that my wife can believe in you again. I don't want her to not believe in you. And when he picked us up, he said, man, this is a sign that God is real, that we don't have to go on the websites and go on online and find out about God, that there's people that still pray, and that if we, in so many words, if we're praying, we'll meet the right people to help us on our journey to heaven. And he's like breaking down. First, he broke down crying, and then we prayed for him. Before we left, he said, before we go, we took a picture. It was like a group picture. He said, I'm going to remember this. He said, this is my friends in America. They pray for me. And to this day, we still keep in contact. I'll talk to him every now and then, encourage him in the Lord, you know. And he did mention on the way out when we were leaving from the airport, he said, hey, when you guys come back to Brazil, call me. I'll be here.
But I remember one of the doctors there. She was a doctor in theology, and she said she asked. She's like, "What do you believe in?" And I remember one of us said, "We believe in the Bible." And her response was true. She said, "A lot of people believe in the Bible, but what do you believe in?" And after a pause, there was a little bit of talk, and it's like, "Well, let us show you." And then we began to pray. And as we were praying in English, there was a brother, he started praying in Creole. And then after that, nothing was said. And she was like, all right. And I believe in my mind, as I was writing my journal, I was like, this was the beginning of the missionary trip.
When we got to Brazil, it looked very similar to what's going on in America. Religious people, older people that had lost their way, people under duress, situations, finance pressure. There had been a flood, and a lot of people had lost their homes, and people were really torn up in Rio de Janeiro. A lot of people were just partying, just drinking their life away.
Even though we are from different states or different country, but we are the same people. We have the same story. We have the same goal. We all want to make to heaven. This is it. Getting to Brazil and going different location. I remember one time, the first day that we went out, and I saw this man walking with a Bible in his hand in the midst of all those people partying. And I say, wait a minute, what this guy doing with the Bible in his hand? Let's talk to him. He said, I found it, and I'm going to read it, you know. And I say, sir, we came all the way from America, you know, to meet you. Let us pray for you. And then we, like, work a circle around him. We pray for him. He shared a little bit of his testimony, and it was a blessing. And he said, I'm going to read this Bible, you know. And he was, like, full of joy.
And I just seen her hope and expectancy on her face as she began to pray, and they began to pray for her. And I think about that a lot. I think about how heaven saw that. I think that whenever you do something in faith and in charity and obedience, that it can't really ever be eradicated. It can't ever really disappear from the earth.
In all of our churches, you will see landmarks and key scriptures displayed throughout. They remind us of all the major experiences we have been afforded in this Prayer Force movement. In every conference, fellowship meeting, prayer revival, and missionary journey, God's presence and power was present to heal us. And everyone who came in contact with us.
So I want to ask everybody to pray for me in Israel right now. Israel is very, very much in the war right now. All Israel, say greeting from God, mighty his name, Yeshua. Hallelujah.
Tonight, we want you to get a glimpse of just how much prayer, how much love, and how much good the Prayer Force movement has poured out upon this generation, all over the globe, to the glory of Almighty God.
I was born in a home that I've never had the name Jesus Christ. You know, my mom, she was a Muslim. When the Spirit of God drew my attention, everything that was around me just became useless in my eyes automatically. I developed a desire how to know him, how to know him, how to have fellowship with him, and how to grow with him.
Now, we do not claim to be the perfect church. The New Testament church was not either. However, the book of Acts is the blueprint we are patterned after. Though Satan fights, he fights hard. We continue to stand as a pillar for biblical principles. Our flag of humility, obedience, and truth is still raised. From the time we began, we knew we were not called to build up another organization. We were not called to compete for preeminence nor popularity, and we were not called to argue over doctrine. What we were called to was to go out and to encourage other churches. This was the revival of the dry bones. And not just churches, but also synagogues. And so it was fulfilled. Jews and Christians worshiped together on the streets of Jerusalem.
Hey there, this is Levi Newman, coming reporting live from Jerusalem. I'm just here with some brothers here on the streets. And I just want to tell everyone what happened last Thursday night. And I see some fellas coming on down from Georgia. And we just get together and we're singing. And we're just singing and singing and praising God's name. And it was something special, you know. Me, grew up as an Orthodox Jew from Detroit, Michigan, and studying here in Jerusalem. There was a couple scattered Israelis around this piano that we were playing by. There was a couple fellows from Brazil, I think, as well. And just we got together. We were singing songs like "Our God Is an Awesome God" and "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot" and 10,000 Reasons," and it was a really, really special thing. And I just wanted to say, I feel very fortunate and very blessed that I got to meet these fellas, and that we could have that experience together and just here in the City of Gold, just praise God's name.
We have also endeavored to rekindle the fire of discouraged all-time Christians who were watching everything they knew fade away before their eyes. House of Prayer stood for the faith of our fathers, and God added daily such as should be saved.
sehr dankbar für House of Prayer. Als wir vor einigen Jahren gekommen sind, meine Kinder waren noch klein, aber ich habe immer die Liebe der Leute gesehen. Nicht nur für mich, sondern für meine Kinder. Und es hat sich nie geändert über die Jahre. Für die Kinder wurde immer gekämpft. Und ich bin sehr dankbar für all das, was Gott getan hat in unserem Leben. I'm very thankful for House of Prayer. When we came to church a few years ago, I could see the love of the people, not just for myself, but for the children, and that never changed throughout the years. The people at House of Prayer always fought for our children and prayer and was striving to live the Word of God in front of them.
I believe in the power of prayer, and I've experienced it many times in my life. The one special time has came to my mind. It was when me and my daughter were in the hospital on the brink of death. But through the power of prayer and the power of God, we were raised back to life and healed. And I'm thankful for the church and for the brothers and sisters who gathered around me during that time to support me, to come and visit me, to pray with me, to support my family. It was a very hard time, spiritually and emotionally, and I'm thankful to have that support here.
When I was young, I always asked my mom to tell me the story when I was born. She told me that I was a preemie and I was going to die or be blind and deaf. But the church prayed for me, and now I'm well today, able to hear and able to see. If it wasn't for the church, I wouldn't be here standing today telling you that I'm thankful for everything that happened in my life.
There's nothing that can compare to having a church there for you when you're going through the most difficult time of your life. For me and my family, to have brothers and sisters and pastors that will pray for us and care for us during times of struggle, during times of going through the shadow of the valley of death, to have a praying church and praying brothers and sisters, there's no price that you could put on that.
The most rewarding thing about serving as a pastor's wife, it's seeing others. It's not ourselves, it's others, to see someone else be helped. It's to realize that you have a part in someone's life and that you can see them become something that they never thought they could be. That you can see them being far beyond what they could ever be. A new Christian that comes and is learning the Bible and is to them, they don't think they're growing. They don't think that they're anything is happening, but you see those little things, those little steps, those little decisions, and you realize just how much that you can help someone by encouraging them and showing them the way. And then just seeing them to go on and to be whatever God wants them to be and to be happy in God and to love God and allow God to love them.
I encourage everyone who is listening that God is just a prayer away. It's never too late to call on Him.
I'm 4, and I've been in God's Church's Christian Academy for 3 months, and I love it. I love my teachers because they pray for us and care for us. I love going to church and helping in Sunday school. I'm not left out as a child, but we're in this together. Stay in the fight.
Join us again next week as we continue with the stories of the Prayer Force Movement. This program is dedicated to Moriah Michelle Dennis. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, we invite you to call our toll-free prayer request line. There is someone standing by 24/7, ready to pray with you. Call 1-866-414-PRAY. That's 1-866-414-7729. Our international prayer request line is also available in several languages. Call us toll-free at 1-833-772-9482. Again, that's 1-833-772-9482.